Father, we pray that you come in the abundant power of your Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to each and every one of us in our own hearts and in our own minds, that we may grasp a greater understanding of your love for us. For we pray it in Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's Gospel reading was a rather long reading, and well done to Richard for reading it for us. And it's that story that we're probably all familiar with, but it's the encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman. And how that Jesus goes to Jacob's well, and he's there for what normal people go to a well for, to have a drink of water. And while he is there, he has an encounter with a woman. Now, I don't believe for one moment that that's a chance encounter. I don't believe that it is a coincidence. I don't believe that it just happened out of the blue. But I do believe that this was a God moment. It was a God-defined moment. God planned it and allowed it to happen. Just as I don't believe for one moment that any of us are in church this morning by coincidence. For some of us, it may be a habit thing that we come on a Sunday, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. For others, it may be, I got up this morning and thought, I must just go to church. I don't know why you're here or what the reason is behind it. And to be honest, I don't really mind. I'm just glad you're here. But I do believe that it's a God moment, that it's a God coincidence, that God has each of us here for a particular reason. And we have to be open to that. Because perhaps in our own lives we have just gathered at a well. And we're needing a drink. We're needing something to just quench the thirst. Saturday morning in our house is traditional fry morning. I'm not sure whether you have that routine in your house or not either. And we tend to have a late breakfast but early lunch, brunch. And it would be the bacon and the sausage and the eggs and, of course, the fried potato. And down home we call it fudge, potato bread, soda bread. You know, all that usual sort of stuff. Your mouths are now watering. And, unless you're being really unhealthy and cook it in lard, it just doesn't quite taste right. We like to be healthy, and it's Lent, so some of us are trying to be even more healthy, and we might just grill the bacon, but it's just not the same. I'm sure it's not, folks. But you know what it's like after you've ate really, really salty bacon? As the morning goes on, your mouth gets dry and parched, and you need to drink something. You get really, really thirsty. Well, that's the feeling that our souls have. It's as if our souls, because of all the sin in our lives, has ate that really, really salty bacon. And it just needs quenched. It needs the thirst taken away. And I believe that that's the position that this woman is in. This woman from Samaria, the Samaritan woman. She came to Jacob's well. And we're told in the Gospels that it was about the sixth hour. If you want to follow the passage, please do so in John chapter 4. It's also in the blue book. We'll see that it was the sixth hour. And that translates to roughly noon. Now, you'll all know that old saying, and I've said it before from the sermons. Only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. And the midday sun in this particular area that this lady was at would be exceptionally hot. So what was she doing out in the midday sun? Well, I think the encounter that Jesus has with her kind of tells us that. Because nobody in their right mind would have been there, outside of the town, with no shelter, searching for water. And Jesus questions her. And he says to her, "Where is your husband?" You see it in verse 16. He says, "Go and call your husband and come back." And she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus then says to her in verse 17, "You're right when you say you've no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands." Now, I find it hard to have one to get one wife. Never mind a woman having five husbands. Those of you who are married in church and have one husband, would you like four more? If you do, don't tell me. And then he says to her, you've had five husbands, but the one you're with now is not even your husband. So you're right in what you say. So this lady, in these three little verses, we're told exactly why she's out in the midday sun. Because no upright Samaritan woman in that society would be seen with her. The water would have been collected either first thing in the morning or last thing at night. In some cases, both. And she couldn't really come with those people because she wouldn't have been accepted because of her past. And yet, here we have the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Himself, talking to her, meeting with her, having an encounter with her. And Jesus starts to chat to her. And she says to him, really, what are you looking for? And he says, well, I'm at a well. I don't want a drink. And she says, you have no bucket. You have nothing to draw the water out of the well. And the well's so deep, how are you going to get it? And Jesus says to her, you give me a drink. You get it for me. And she looks at him, knowing her story, and knowing that this shouldn't happen. Not only has she had five husbands and she's now in an adulterous relationship, but the fact that a man who is a Jew asking a Gentile for a drink, a woman for a drink, she would know enough that would tell her that this was totally wrong and that it would have the consequences for Jesus in that he would for a while not be accepted amongst the Jewish community. He wouldn't be allowed to ceremonially worship the Lord in the synagogues or in the temples because he has had an interaction with this lady. He himself, by just touching the ladle that she uses, would be making himself spiritually or ritually unclean in the eyes of Jewish law. And she says to him, you're asking me for a drink? And Jesus said to her, yes, I am. But I want to tell you about something else. He looks at her and he says, I know, I'm paraphrasing now, but he looks at her and he says, I know that your soul has been in contact with really salty bacon. He says, I know that your soul is thirsty. Your tongue might be thirsty because we're out in the midday sun, but I can give you living water. Water that will quench your thirst for all eternity. She says in verse 11, you have nothing to draw the water with and the well is deep, so where can we get this living water? Where can we get it? And Jesus says to her, and he points to the well, no doubt, he says, this water in here? He says, you'll drink it today and you'll need more tomorrow because you're thirsty. And you'll need more the next day because you'll get thirsty again. But he says to her, I will give you water that comes from the spring of water welling up into eternal life. Jesus says to her, I can take away that thirst like you've never experienced before. I wonder, is he saying that to us this morning? Is Jesus saying to you, is he saying to me, I want to give you living water. I want to take away all that old saltiness from your soul. All that old sinfulness and give you living water. And she rightly responds in verse 15. She says, sir, give me this water that I won't get thirsty and have to keep drawing water from here. That's the response that Jesus wants from each of us. And it's emphasized even so much during Lent. He wants us to say, Lord, give me that water. Take away the old sinfulness that's causing me to thirst. He says, give me that water, Lord Jesus, is all that he wants us to do. You'll know yourself that whenever you drink something, in the natural, drink something, you've had that salty bacon on a Saturday morning, nothing seems to quite hit it. And you'll take a glass of water and it'll be okay for a few minutes and then you'll start to feel thirsty again. Your tongue gets sticky and you know the sort of thing I'm talking about. And my father used to say, take a cup of tea and it'll wash it all away. You'll take a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, a hot drink, but it just doesn't quite do it. You'll still be thirsty for a little while. Jesus will enter into us right now and we'll never be thirsty again. We'll never want again because he'll have taken it away and have dealt with it. This woman responded to Jesus and her life was transformed. And in the response to Jesus, she then went and told other people. It says in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Jesus wants us as believers to share what he has done in our lives with other people. He wants us to share his truth. He wants us to share what he is doing and our own experiences for him so that other people can come to know him as well. This woman was taken from the gutter and Jesus placed her as a nutter. Not nutter, not N-U-T-T, but U-T-T. He saved her from the guttermost and made her the uttermost. This lady was responsible for planting a church in a village where people had never heard tell of Jesus. She sowed a seed, and that seed grew and became something else far greater than she could ever imagine. In the passage which Emily read for us from Romans chapter 5, we read some wonderful words from verse 3 on. We read, not only so, but we also rejoice in sufferings, because we know that, and then this is the bit I love, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. There are times as a Christian when we hit brick walls, and there's no doubt in that. I had a conversation this week with someone who has hit a brick wall. And sometimes, some of you will have experienced me doing this, I will ask questions like, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being rock bottom and 10 being right up there, as best as we can be, where are we at on that scale? But you know, folks, we have to persevere. Because the Lord will persevere with us. And yes, we will suffer. We will face all kinds of nasty things being said about us when we come to Jesus. But we have to keep going. Because Paul writes that perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And then Paul tells us that out of that, hope never disappoints. Each one of us, when we drink the living water that Jesus talked about to the Samaritan woman, encounters hope. And that hope never, ever disappoints. We have the hope of eternal life, the hope of a home in heaven, the hope of always having the Lord Jesus Christ with us. Because he tells us in his word that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll journey every path with us. He tells us that he'll make every path straight if we only but trust in him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls. And this is all done through love. Verse 5 of chapter 5 of Romans, Paul says, God has poured out his love into our hearts. And then in verse 8, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Samaritan woman encountered the Christ who in a few months' time would die for her. She believed in him. She transformed her life. She encountered him like she never would have encountered anyone else before. He gave her fulfillment. He gave her perseverance. He gave her character. He gave her hope that no husband before was able to do. He quenched the thirst of her soul, and she rejoices because of it. I hope and pray that every single one of us in this building this morning, and those who listen to this on the podcast later on this week or in the future, will rejoice because we have had an encounter with Jesus. A God coincidence. A God ordained moment to encounter Jesus. Jesus meets each and every one of us where we are at. He meets us at our own wells, and he encourages us to drink from him. Let's pray together. Let's take a moment, just in our own quiet thoughts. Perhaps this morning you're standing at a well. And you're looking in at the water and thinking, that'll quench my thirst for a little while. But then you look up and you see Jesus, and he's saying, I want to quench your thirst forever, for all eternity. Will you respond to him this morning the way this woman did in John chapter 4? And will you say, Lord Jesus, give me this water? Pray it quietly in your own heart. And ask him to transform you. Lord, give me this water. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the living water. And that you quench our thirst like it has never been quenched before. May the cry of all our hearts be, Lord, give me this water. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.